How y'all today? Good. This is my beautiful wife, Marcia, if you have never met her. I must say she's the most beautiful woman here today.
This is my amazing husband, Dave.
We have the privilege. Usually we wouldn't be in these chairs, but Marcia was rollerblading down the hallway the other day and twisted her ankle. So she's a little slower today as you're stuck here, babe. So this morning, the topic that we're privileged to speak on is something that's really close to my heart, and it should be close to all of our heads. You guys can't see it. There you go. All right. And that's prayer. Prayer is our communication link, our Ethernet, our fiber optic to the Lord. Prayer is so important to the Lord and to us. It's how we talk to Him. And on your table, you have two sets of these cards. One is for the wife and one is for the husband. Now, the one for the wife goes to the husband. The one for the husband goes to the wife. Just want to clarify that. Pray yes. 31 days of prayer, and there's even space in the back where you can write specific prayers for whichever one of your spouse needs or desires, or you want to pray something special that day. Or that month for your wife. And from feeling these, you could probably use a dry erase and it would rub off and you could reuse these things over and over and over again. All right? So, let's begin. And let's begin with prayer, eh? Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, would give you this time. Am I doing something wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. If I lay it down here, what do I need to do? Yes, yeah, so right here. What do I need to do with it?
Need to lay.
Oh.
I got someone or I got three.
Okay, I get. I guess I won't read that.
Sure.
All right. Praise the Lord. I can talk loud. Come on. Here we go. So.
We're going to pray.
We did. Oh,
we didn't pray. We
didn't finish prayer. No, I hope this doesn't go the whole hour like this. Father, I just thank you that you are in control of all things. Father, you are the creator of everything, Lord. We just thank you that, Lord, you would just fill us with your spirit, Lord, that we would just get out of the way. Lord, that what we talk to about these folks, Lord, would bless them and encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So.
Okay. So, Dave, what's the purpose of prayer?
Well, like I was telling you guys in the beginning, that's our communication line with the Lord. It's an integral part of our Christian walk, and the purpose of prayer is for us to become more godlike. I know you've heard that, why do you get married? It's so that you can serve each other and become more like Christ. To become more godly, to become more godlike. I didn't touch it. It's something that prayer is in the church has been, in the Protestant church has been something, maybe it's thundering.
Right. I think we should too. Let us pray for the next 30 minutes. So we'll be done.
How about if I set this right there? Would that help? I hear Will. I can feel Will coming. It'll walk around. Okay. Just turn it off.
Okay. Yep.
Here. Check a mundo. All right. Okay. I'm glad we have these chairs. In the Protestant church, we are a bit undisciplined when it comes to prayer. And I don't mean that in a negative way. If you look at the Catholics, the Hindu, Buddhist, those people pray. They're not praying to in accordance to the word, but those people know how to pray. And that's why I say the Protestant church is a bit undisciplined when it comes to prayer. And therein lies much of the reason of the shortage or the dearth, as it's called, of spiritual insights and serious lack of spiritual morality in the church is because of lack of prayer. I want to read you, if you guys could put up the picture of the book cover. Thanks, brother. This book?
A little too close, it's making it poppy.
Okay, sorry. I want to read you a quote out of this book. It's by Albert Edward Day, who was a Methodist pastor. And he's talking about, if most of you guys don't know what I do here at the church, one of my main jobs is to run the radio station. And what the heck was that?
That thing fell down.
And so I'm very conscious of what goes out over the airwaves and who created that. Every signal that we emit, God hears and God's in control of. And there in New Mexico, if you want to put up the next one, the satellite dishes. In New Mexico, there's an array of satellite dishes. It's called the Carl G. Jansky array. It's called a very large array. It's a series of 27 of these things on 38 miles of railroad tracks, or that big. They're 80 feet in diameter. I'm going to say that this is not 80 feet. Maybe this is 80 feet, but there's 27 of those. And the reason, hang with me here a minute. This isn't a rabbit trail. Anyways, together they mimic a single telescope the size of Washington, D.C. Astronomers come from all over the world to analyze the optical images of the heavens composed by the VLA from the radio signals it gets from space. And why is such a giant apparatus needed? And here's the thing. Because the radio waves often emitted from the sources millions of light years away are very faint, obviously. The total energy of all the radio waves ever recorded, radio started back in the late 1800s, by the way. All the radio waves ever recorded barely equals the force of a single snowflake hitting the ground. Now, if you think about, these guys are spending all this time, all this money, and all this technology. They go to such great lengths to search of a faint message from somewhere they can't see, somewhere out in space, even as God has spoken so clearly through his Son and his Word. They strain through the eyes of these telescopes and the electronic ears of that VLA when all they have to do is look at 2 Peter 1:19, which says, "We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." We spend so much time with methods and trying to seek God in ways that are so complicated that we miss the communication between somebody that loves us more than we could ever love ourselves, and his heart is for us to communicate with him. We don't have to search in galaxies beyond to find out what God and where God is. He's right here. He's right here, and he wants to talk to us. The New Living Translation says it this way: "Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets, and we must pay close attention to what they wrote. For their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts." I think I missed a page. I did.
Okay. So my first question, actually, what is prayer? What is prayer? I mean, okay, they have this cloud out there now, that stuff you put on your computer goes up to some cloud. Is prayer like that? Is prayer like, does God have his own cloud in these words that we speak, or thoughts that we think, or our communication with God? Is it in the God cloud? What in the heck is prayer anyway?
God cloud. Let me precurse what she's telling us here. We're going to give you several things too that'll help you in your prayer life, give you tools, and we're going to give you these topics and several Bible verses that you can write down below them and look at those later and pray on those things later to help build your spiritual walk, your prayer life with the Lord. All right? Prayer is not just words out in the ether, like Marshall was telling us. But it's not a, you remember when you were kids, you made lists to Santa Claus? That's not prayer. Prayer is more than just words. As it says in the words, that sometimes we our spirit groans, that we don't know how to say it. It's like a breath. It's a heartbeat, a sanctuary where we can come boldly through to the throne of God to meet our Creator, our Father in heaven, our Savior. Prayer is a way of connecting and communing with the Lord, making our relationship with Him amazingly personal. Prayer is humbly acknowledging His lordship over all things. Through the gift of prayer, we have the privilege of expressing every burden, praises, and our requests to God to move in our lives. And if I could impart one thing today to you guys regarding prayer, it's that prayer matters more than any of us here really, really can comprehend. Prayer matters so much to our Father in heaven. I know some of us have children who aren't walking with the Lord. It's kind of like the communication gets broken when that happens. And as a father, it breaks his heart when you don't hear from your children. Anyways, I digress. If you don't have a personal prayer life yourself, communicating with the God of your lives, then When you get married, you are literally telling the devil, create conflict in our marriage. If you don't have a personal prayer life with the Lord, and I don't mean say the rosary. I don't mean stuff like that. I mean talking to the one who created even your breath. Anyways, go ahead, babe.
Okay, ladies, when you're in the kitchen, I love my kitchen, and you do a recipe, typically you look at the recipe, you read the directions, especially, and I pull it up on YouTube or in your cookbook or something, and then you do the things, the steps that it says to do. And that's how it is with our prayer. The Word of God shows you the steps, the verses, the things that God shows us on how He wants us to pray, what He wants us to say and to do.
Right. It's like when you cook, ladies, you have a recipe. You follow the directions. You follow the recipe. What happens when you don't?
You might flop. You might not want your husband to eat it.
Yeah, it may not make it to the table, I guess. But here's the thing. You trust the one who wrote the recipe.
Yeah.
And it's the same with us guys. If you're out, you know, some guys are very mechanically inclined. I know at least one of us in here is. And you follow the Chilton's manual. That's dating me. I used to have a 65 Chevy convertible, and when I had to work on it, I had the Chilton's manual, the mechanic's manual, right there. Now they call it YouTube.
YouTube University.
It's the same thing. If you don't, and you have plans if you're building something, you guys who are builders, you have plans. And if you don't follow the plans, your 65 Chevy's not going to run very well, for one thing. Your doors aren't going to close. The windows you probably ordered are the wrong size. We trust the one who wrote the plans, who wrote the Chilton's manual, who wrote the blueprints. And God is that. And we have the Word of God is our blueprint. You follow the directions or plans. You have faith in the one who wrote the directions.
Yeah, and Jesus, in Matthew 26:41, he told his disciples in the garden, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but, oh man, the flesh is weak. It's a lot weaker, I think, than we really understand until we fall and we're like, the flesh is weak, isn't it?
Yes, let me unpack that for you. Your flesh is weak. If you don't pray, you will fall into temptation. It's very easy. God is not a complicated God. He's awesome, but he's not complicated. He's such that he came down and became one of us, became a man, and to make our way to heaven. Prayer's not that lifeline either. You remember the show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I think it was called? You throw out the lifeline, you call somebody. That's not prayer. I know there are the so-called Hail Mary prayers where you're in desperate need or desperation and you throw up that prayer in desperation. But that's not what we're talking about here today. We're talking about establishing steps to create a lifestyle of prayer. When we don't have that habit of prayer, that lifestyle of prayer, that's what happens. We throw out the lifelines and expect God to answer us. Sometimes we even think that God hears every prayer. He does hear, but here's the thing. The first prayer that God's going to hear from you, any of us, and I would never assume that every one of us here has a relationship with Jesus Christ. The first prayer he's going to hear from you is, Lord, save me. Lord, I repent of my sins. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. That's the first prayer he's going to hear from you. If you're walking in this world today and you haven't done that, I encourage you with all my heart to pray that prayer. Talk to your Creator in such a way that it is a heartfelt repentance.
Okay, so if I say that prayer, I'm kind of saying it on faith. So how do I know God hears it?
That's a good question. And this is one of those topics where you have verses that you can write the verses down.
Oh, yeah.
That's why. Thank you so much for getting those journals. What a tool. I'm thinking, I don't need a stupid journal. I got my notebook. What a great tool. Thanks, Courtney. 1 John 5, 5:14 says, we are certain that God will hear our prayers when we ask for what pleases him. And when we're not walking with him, if we're an unbeliever, the first thing that pleases him is that prayer asking for salvation. In John 5:15, he says, and we know that God listens when we pray. We are sure that our prayers have already been answered. And going on, 1 Peter 3:7, if you're a husband, you should be thoughtful to your wife. This is in the New Living. Treat her with honor, because she isn't as strong as you are, and she shares with you in the gift of life. Nothing will stand in the way of your prayers if you do that. If in other translations is, treat your wife this way so that your prayers will be heard, or so that your prayers will be heard by the Lord. And here's the thing. I might as well get comfortable here. There's been a lot of research on who prays and who doesn't pray. And in the world today, a lot of people say they're Christians that talk the talk, but don't walk the walk, as it were. And only 8 to 11% of people who are married regularly pray together. And there are 64% of the people who are married claim to be Christians. So under 10% of those say they pray together. And get this, here's the kicker of that. Those who have a regular prayer life with their spouse, less than 1% of them get divorced. That's amazing for me. That's the power of prayer. You cannot tell me that that's not God working in their lives. I can guarantee you that Gary and Angie have a prayer life together. With 9 children? Are you kidding me? It is evident just by their walk that they do.
So what can we expect to happen when we pray as a couple?
Oh, my goodness. I know this personally. When Marcia and I purposed to pray with my wife every morning. Now, does that happen? There's some mornings I'm out of the house by 5:30, 5:45, 6:00, so that doesn't happen that day. But we make it a concerted effort to pray with each other every day. And there are significant benefits for husbands and wives. Number one of those is relationship satisfaction. Couples who share a biblical worldview, including prayer, report higher marital satisfaction. Regular attendance at a biblical Christian service, and shared beliefs also contribute positively to relationship satisfaction.
And in Romans 12:5, it says, "May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus." And then in Colossians 3:13, it says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And James 1:19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry."
That's a good one. There's other benefits of it too. Emotional and spiritual connection is another benefit of praying together. And why is that important? Well, all we have to do is look at Amos 3:3 and see that can two walk together unless they agreed? Agreeing in prayer is a sure way to see God move in your relationship. Prayer fosters humility and openness between partners. As a man, and I know probably 90% of you guys in here, when you start that walk, that journey with your wife in prayer, it can be pretty humbling because you're bearing a part of you that men have a tendency to go through life with this wall around them. And it's very hard to get men to talk about their emotions, their lives in general. Guys will easily, fist bump and all this stuff, when it comes to sports and things. But when it comes to spiritual things and emotional things, it's very hard for other men to get through that wall. And it's actually very hard for, our spouses to get through that wall if we don't have a habit of praying together. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." It helps couples address and release their deepest hurts, promoting forgiveness. Prayer opens our heart up to our spouse and to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 13, it starts out, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And it defines that enduring love that we have for our spouse and for the Lord. In Galatians 5:22, you want to read that, babe?
Sure. It says, "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless."
Limitless. That's great. Thanks, babe.
So how does prayer strengthen the relationship?
Prayer together creates that sense of unity and appreciation for each other. It encourages couples to focus on the other's needs, reducing selfishness. Could you put up that triangle, man? Thank you so much, brother. When we are serving the Lord as a couple, we draw closer to each other as we go through our walk with our spouses. You can pull this triangle off the internet. Greg has another version he uses in our counseling ministry. But every one of those verses is an encouragement for the man and for the wife and for them together as they walk together towards the Lord, serving each other and serving the Lord. Engaging in prayer together invites that personal and relational growth. Couples who pray together often feel more hopeful about life in general and about their future together.
In contrast to that, couples who are not praying together are more likely to be unsure of their relationship. They tend to be more anxious. They tend to be more depressed. They tend to have feelings more hopelessness becomes more prevalent in their lives. That hopelessness towards their relationship with their spouse and relationship with the Lord. It's also a sobering thought that this simple act of love and servitude can also prevent those things. Depression, hopelessness. And nowadays, it's hard to fathom this, but that one thing, having that prayer life with your spouse, can actually prevent someone who has those tendencies from committing that ultimate act of suicide. And there's statistics to prove that suicide in our age group in here is the number two killer in our age group of men and women. That's a very sobering thought, to think that by just humbling ourselves before the Lord can prevent things like that, can prevent things such as hopelessness and depression and anxiousness. And the Word talks about those things many times of encouraging us not to be anxious for anything, right? Shared prayer is a powerful practice to significantly reduce those rates of divorce in married couples. Rates of suicide attempts, and like I was telling you, I'm not saying when we hide the Word of God in our heart and pray with our spouse, those are things that strengthen our walk spiritually. I'm not saying you gotta memorize the book of Job or anything, but having the Word hidden in our heart and praying with our spouse is a huge step in our relationship with the Lord. But here's the thing: the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we begin to do that, we'll experience that joy that comes from the Lord. But here's the thing: why don't couples pray together?
Yeah, why don't they? And Dave asked me to say reasons that women don't pray, and so, you know, out of my depth of knowledge, I was thinking, I think one of the reasons sometimes is women don't feel like God will change their situation. And they think, well, why should I pray? My husband's going to stay set in his ways and be stubborn if I pray or not, so why bother? And another one is they're mad at their husband, and they don't want to be with him, much less pray with him. And then another one, when she asks her husband to pray together, he says no. So she just gives up.
Been there. My wife has asked me many times in the past to pray, and we've had stress or strife. And if you say you've never done this, I would be pressed to say, I think you're lying. And that's true. But that's not those reasons that Marcia just gave us. They're all lies.
Yeah.
They're all lies from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
Guys, there's reasons that you don't pray, that we don't pray. And the main reason is because our view of God is too small. We don't think our God can do it. Our God is too small. If praying is our last resort, our view of God is too small. If fear and worry paralyzes us and robs us of our peace, our view of our God is too small. If we can't forgive others and can't forgive ourselves, our view of our God is too small. And if you need answers right now, your view of God is too small. And here's a big one for me, I think. As an artist, if you've lost your sense of wonder in His creation,
yeah,
His sense of wonder in the helpmeet, that he has given you, your view of God is too small. Reason number two for guys is we think way too much of ourselves. Most of us think we're all that in a bag of chips, as it were. And when you put anything above God, it becomes idolatry. We put ourselves between God and his word. If we put anything in between that, we think too much of ourselves, and that's called simply selfishness. We become, men are very prone to being selfish. We think if we put work or sports above our relationship with God and then with our spouse, our view of God is way too small. Why do men struggle at home? I think there's five reasons, which I will give you. First of all, it's a spiritual battle. Whether men or women battle against praying or not praying. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If there's no prayer at home, guys, then there's not going to be any spiritual power at home. And Satan wins. Satan, when we're not praying with our families and our wives, men, opens the door for conflict, as Will and Courtney talked about, for things that happen in our lives, allowing things in our families and in our houses, gives Satan those opportunities to create conflict. And the first thing he'll do is to get us away from our prayer life. If he can get us away from that, if he can get us from talking to the one who knows us better than ourselves, the one who supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, if he can separate us from that, he wins. Number two, prayer. We think prayer is unproductive. A lot of us are outcome driven. We want to see results. And that's pretty natural for most anybody. We want to see results. And sometimes men think prayer is a waste of time because we don't see results right away. Hello, look at Abraham. My goodness. Number three, we still wrestle with our own weaknesses and wounds that we've had maybe from the past. And it immobilizes us. Sometimes we have guilt and shame that we don't feel comfortable going to the Lord and asking for forgiveness or help. But that's a lie too. See 2 Corinthians 12:9. Write that down in your journal. Number four, we convince ourselves that we're not good at it, so we avoid the potential failure. How many times, if you're in the construction business, when you first picked up a hammer, the very first time, what were the chances you were going to nail your thumb more than you were going to nail the nail? I see Matt looking at his thumb. you never get anywhere unless you get off the starting blocks. You never get to your destination. It's like the saying, if you don't aim for something, you're going to miss every time. The things we use for reasons not to pray are lies from the devil. We all probably have some of these reasons, and maybe we've got some other reasons. But I would plead to you to embrace God's enabling grace to set you free from those lies and just take one simple step to be the leaders, guys, of prayer in your home. Knowing and praying the Word of God is square one. Like I said, that's the starting blocks. That's reading the directions. That's going to the gym. Having the word hidden in our hearts and praying the word back to the Father. It doesn't mean your prayers aren't heard if you don't have any. have the book, like I said, the book of Job memorized, but having God's word hidden in your heart is the beginning. Praying together is such an important thing. And we have an example of that here. If you want to start that video, that'd be great. This is an example of a couple.
Through there. That looks amazing. Just pray. God, thank you for everything you've done for us and the blessings that you've given to us. And thank you for Bethany and this meal and the hands that prepared it. And especially today, because the hands that prepared it are
a little late. We tried E5 6, but it's 6:15. And
echo that. You know, thank you for everything you've done for us. And let us just hear the Holy Spirit say that maybe everyone should be helping around the house.
And just thank you for all the provision that you provided for us, the evidence of your hand in our lives, when the provisions through these Amazon boxes just keep coming to the house just over and over. It seems like, what could we possibly need? And it just keeps coming.
Oh, God, your grace is sufficient for all of our needs, even when Jeff's salary is not.
Okay. And we thank you for the trials that you've allowed us to go through. Even most of the financial trials that we are going through currently is because of Bethany and her, you know, driving. According to her, sometimes she's just in the middle of the two lanes and, a curb will just come out and grab her tires. So, you know, give me faith for my unbelief, because I do not believe that story. It seems very supernatural.
Well, we are so grateful, God, that you protect us in our everyday lives, that you are our source and provision. And maybe, maybe you could put air in my tires, because the little air pressure light has been on for 4 months and apparently Jeff has not seen that, but maybe you will.
Well, you know, and you say that wives should submit to their husbands. And I just ask that you really help us consider that verse. And Lord, in your word, you say that your strength is made perfect in weakness. And that is especially evident these days in Bethany's life, as she has so many weaknesses. So I just ask that you would be strong for her.
Thank you. And speaking of weakness, he has missed many, many days at the gym, so I am trying to hack our plates with protein, and we just thank you so much.
Yeah, Lord, and it, you know, some call it protein, others call it hamburger helper.
But either way, we are grateful with provision in our lives, and we ask all these ones in your name. Amen.
How was your day?
It was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah,
but with Elijah, Court.
I did, yeah. Yes. That color looks great on you.
He's so good. Amen.
Maybe our prayer life shouldn't be exactly like that.
Do they call it passive-aggressive praying?
Passive-aggressive, that's a good word. Our prayer life, you know, we get sometimes, Christians can be way too serious too. But prayer is such a heartfelt thing between us and God, that he desires so much for us to communicate with him. He desires so much to know us. When I met my wife, I really didn't know her. She didn't know me. We saw each other where we were living at in the left coast, but I didn't know her. It wasn't until we started communicating. We make it out to be so difficult. God's not this big thing in the sky ready with a big hammer ready to squash us every time we do something wrong. God loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his son to die for dirt clods like us. I'm sorry, I talk like I'm talking to guys. Ladies, I don't mean to call you dirt clods. But he loves us so, he wants that community. Now, how in the world are we going to know him if we don't communicate with him in prayer? It's so essential to our spiritual lives.
One of the things that Dave and I have really enjoyed is we came across this book a couple of years ago. It's 365 Daily Promises for Your Marriage by Jimmy and Karen Evans. And
good book.
Dave, it's a Bible verse and then a prayer, maybe an example of applying it to a married couple. And then you pray together. And Dave reads, and it's only one page. It takes 3 to 5 minutes. And Dave reads a page every day, and we hold hands, and we pray, and we lift that up to the Lord. But the cool thing is you're praying the Word of God. Yes. And that's why I also love this book, The Power of the Praying Wife by Stormy O'Mardian. And I love gathering with other women and lifting our husbands up in prayer. That is so important, and it's such an honor and a blessing. And you're always, the whole book is praying the Word of God for your husband, lifting him up and just asking God to bless him, protect him, give him favor, give him wisdom, give him what he needs for that day.
Lord doesn't need that.
What?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. So anyway, those are the two things that have really helped me. We've been married 31 years. It's our second marriage. And
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's only by him.
So this has really been, I just wanted to share that with you ladies, that it's a great book. And if you, I go on thrift store and get it first secondhand for $5. So that's a tip too, free.
How do we pray? You know, many times we come into the Christian life, and there's no directions. Well, you should read the Gospel of John. Oh, what else? What is that? It? That's it for the Christian life, the Christian walk? No. Let me read you this quote by Ben Franklin: the importance of going to the Lord in prayer. Ben, y'all know who Ben Franklin was. If you don't, you should have paid attention in American history. But he delivered this speech on June 28th in 1787 at the end of the Constitutional Convention. So the Revolutionary War is done. They're finishing up the Constitution. And he says this to the group of guys that are there. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord builds the house, they will labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this." I mention this to encourage you to trust that the God who raises empires and knows even when a sparrow falls, he knows the number of hairs on most of our heads. Some of our heads. He hears every word that we pray to him. I close my eyes sometimes and I imagine the Lord's up there, you know, looking over the rail down on earth from heaven, from the balcony in heaven, and just waiting for us, waiting to hear from any one of us, waiting to hear from Marcia, waiting to hear from Dave, waiting to hear from any one of you ladies and gentlemen here. He's up there, his heart's bursting with love for you and his desire to hear from you. Starting to pray together as a couple will strengthen your bond and deepen your spiritual connection. And here's some steps, practical steps that you can use. If you don't have a solid prayer life together, here's some steps that you can use to get started in that. First of all, make an appointment with your wife. And in doing that, you're making an appointment with the Lord. Make an appointment to pray. Now, I know that if you make an appointment with your doctor, you're going to keep that appointment. If you don't, sometimes some doctors will charge you if you break their appointment, or they'll make you reschedule. If you go in there and you're late, they'll make you reschedule. And sometimes it's a long time before you get back into the doctor. I don't know why I said it. I guess that means I'm old. You got to set aside a specific time each day to pray. Doesn't have to be a gazillion words. These cards are great. What a blessing to have these cards. You can start here. Grab one. There's 31 days. Similarly, there's 31 Proverbs. You could pray a proverb a day. Take these things and put them to use. Wear them out. Another suggestion is to find a quiet and comfortable place where you won't be interrupted. You'll have to tell your 9 kids to go someplace else, Gary, so you can pray with Angie. And start small. It doesn't have to be reciting the Nicene Creed right away. Begin with short prayers, like thanking God for your day or your spouse. What a concept. Thanking the Lord for your spouse, for your children, for your job, for your house, for your salvation. What a concept that is, huh? And use things like this. Guides, books like Marcia was just telling us about. Use those things. They're great tools to get us into that habit and then the lifestyle of praying. And one of the most important things is to be open and honest with your spouse when you pray. When you make the appointment to pray, set the time, start small. It has to be a safe place. It has to be a demilitarized zone, as it were, where she can say whatever she needs to say and you can say whatever you need to say without the expecting to be like these folks. They're back and forth, the passive-aggressive prayer folks. It has to be a space and a time where it's safe for us to express our hurts and our needs and our goals, our vision for each other. And I suggest you incorporate personal touches, like experiences that you've had, memories in your prayers, gratitude for each other and your relationship and your blessings. And here's one for us guys. Active listening. Practice active listening. What is that? Allow each partner to share their prayers and concerns and take turn praying to ensure both voices are heard. You're actively listening. I'm an expert at this. My wife has to tell me, babe, look at me. I want to tell you something. And because I'm listening, but I'm doing stuff, you know, guys do. Focus on the person you're praying with or praying for. Look them in the eyes and pray with them together. Don't get legalistic about missing a day. If you miss a day, start over the next day. They don't have dates on the devotional that we showed you. There's no date on this, just day one, day two. Just start and go. Just start. Making opportunities to pray. I learned this some years ago, that when God places it on your heart, someone asks you to pray, he doesn't mean 2 weeks from now when it comes back to your memory. He means pray right now. Let's pray right now. When we both have it on our hearts, pray right now. When someone asks you to pray, pray right now. So it's fresh.
And those opportunities, like when your wife says she's had a bad day, don't say, I'll pray for you. Pray right now. It's like, take her hand and just pray. It doesn't have, it could be 10-second prayer. Lord, I just pray you take my wife into your arms and show her that you love her more than anyone else in the world.
I think Will is standing up, and that's our cue that we have to end this.
What?
Sorry.
Wait a minute. Make opportunities. Spontaneous prayer.
But we know, Dave, the prayer that never fails.
There is a prayer that you can pray that will never fail. And it is, your will be done.
Yeah, your will be done. Yeah.
That is the prayer that will never fail. I want to leave you guys with another quote about prayer. It's by E.M. Bounds. If you've never read books on prayer, E.M. Bounds is the guy. He said, while the Bible doesn't have a single verse that explicitly commands husbands and wives to pray together daily, it strongly encourages agreement in prayer, unity in prayer, mutual honor that supports effective prayer in God's presence when believers pray together. He says, I think Christians fail so often to get answers to their prayers because they don't wait long enough to even hear God. They drop down, say a few words, and they're up and running. They jump up and forget it and expect God to answer them. Such prayer often reminds E.M. Bounds of this. It's like the small boy who runs up to the doorbell, hits the doorbell, and takes off. And then we expect God to answer us. It's just like the little boy ringing the doorbell and running. God's on the other side. He wants to open the door. Hang loose. Pray. Don't just pray and run. Wait for God to talk to you. Amen? Okay, we're done.